If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. We read from the first chapter to the end. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who will pass by, will go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that our guests are in the depths of the grave. Let us pray and ask for God's help in looking for his word. We invite you this right now to come and speak your words that we've read through me. Lord, I pray that the meditation of my heart and all the preparation that I have looked through and you have revealed through your words will come out clearly. Lord, we pray that as you rebuke us and correct us and put us straight and invite us into your kingdom, that, Lord, you will heal us and you will help us to understand you more this morning. Refresh our heart and our mind, so that we will not be the same, that we will not only just hear your words, but we will take it in and apply it to our life. So we pray this in Jesus' name. If you're familiar with one of myself and Alice's favorite TV game called Tipping Point on the telly, if you notice when a person failed to tip the jackpot and win £10,000, there's an option to trade all the money. And during the game, if you trade your money, you gain 3 coins, you know, to possibly partake again into to win the 10,000. So these options come with either, yes, please, I want to take the coins, or no, I'm happy to just go with the little money I made throughout the games. So a lot of time, the choices they make are obvious. We can easily read it through because we follow that game and say, look, why would you be stupid to actually trade your money? But sometimes we get confused because when our prediction doesn't match their decision, the reason is we are not the player and we cannot know enough information about them why sometimes they want to go for the bigger money where they stupidly trade the three, maybe they've made 3,000 and they gave it away to earn 10,000 and ended up with nothing. Or perhaps they just took the money that they earned. So decisions need to be made which way to go to. So in our passage this morning, Solomon presents us with a picture of two ladies, both of them extending invitations to us. We have the invitation of Lady Wisdom. And the second invitation that we have is the invitation of Lady Folly. It is my prayer for all of us, including myself this morning, that we will choose wisely from these two invitations. But before we do that, let's unpack, first of all, the invitation of Lady Wisdom. So if you're still with me in verses 1 to 12. The first thing we notice with Lady Wisdom is her preparation. She has a beautiful home. Have a look at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. This is not an ordinary home. It is a home with seven pillars. Number 7 suggests completeness, one that lacks nothing. It is magnificent, solid, well-furnished house. It even has seven pillars. I've never seen a home with seven pillars before. But all I know is a pillar is needed to support a massive building. So a home with seven pillars means massive in size and fit for a banquet. This can be compared to qualities of wisdom described by James. You don't have to turn to it. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, is full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." This is what you get in a home such as this. But this is not just a home. We've seen some homes from the, when you look at the outlook, they're beautiful. They look massive. You desire that. Well, I want to live in this kind of house. But sometimes we say, we don't know what goes on behind, inside the house. We don't know what goes on. But this is this home that we've been invited into by Lady Wisdom, asking us to come in, has so much to offer. Have a look at verse 2. He has so much to offer. She invites everyone to come to share her satisfying feast. The feast that she carefully prepared and beautifully presented. And a decorated table. So it's not just an ordinary table, like, you know, sometimes you go into a restaurant. I always very choosy. Say, what kind of restaurant is this? Is this a restaurant with just no clothes on? Or a restaurant with a bit of clothes on, with lovely flowers on top, you know, peppers and everything that you need to garnish your sort of well-set table. This is a home that has all these qualities. With decorated wine and meat. I'm sure there was a place for vegetarian as well, but this is packed full of plenty, plenty. She has a beautiful home, plenty of food to give. Sounds very Christian, isn't it? She made her plea. 3 to 9. Lady Wisdom makes great effort to reach those who will listen. She wants to be heard. In doing so, she sent her servant and cries out from the highest points of the city, inviting people to come in. This is like Jesus sending his apostles two by two to preach and heal people, seeking people to come in to him. Then the Great Commission, he commanded for people to go in and invite people to come and eat. And in his parables about the parables of the wedding banquet, he invites people to come and enjoy his meal with him. So Lady Wisdom wants to be heard. She invites the simple and those with no sense. Verse 4 to 5. Who are the simple? The simple are those who are ignorant. Although they're not stupid, we see them today, they're very smart people, but ignorant of the gospel. Jesus encountered them many times during his ministry on earth. You know, the Pharisees know the Bible, the Old Testament from reciting it, but they don't understand the gospel. They lack understanding. So Lady Wisdom invites people, the simple, to come and drink her prepared feast. He's asking them to leave their simple ways so that they can have life. Wisdom is not something that can be bought or earned, or that only the privileged of few people can have. Wisdom extends her offer to all who pass by her city, and she invites them into her home. She's asking simply to forsake foolishness and live, to go in the ways of understanding. We are all simple by God's standards. We are all simple by God's standards. And we can be easily led and get confused and get distracted about things around us. The invitation is here for us to gain knowledge, to seek God and draw near to him. Because we need to grow in Christ's knowledge and gain his wisdom through his scripture. Because this is the only way that will help us deal with the problem of sin and bring us into a loving relationship with our Maker. If you're a scoffer, or if you're a mocker in this house, if you're a mocker anywhere, you will not be invited. That's what verses 7 to 9 says. Mockers will not be invited. Mockers are different from simple who are invited to hear wisdom. Mockers are wicked people. It's a waste of time. The passage tells us a waste of time to even seek the company of wicked. Because in the hope of doing well or trying to do good to them or trying to correct them, we may likely be more corrupted by them. That's the danger. Because they ridicule wise words. They will do all they can to destroy someone's reputation. That's why Jesus rebuked them in Luke 11. 29, by calling them a wicked generation, as they were requesting more signs instead of heeding to Christ's wisdom. In contrast, if a wise person sitting here today, you love Christ, you will follow his commands and you will want to learn more, because that is what verse 8 to 9 says, rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise, they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. I can tell you, it's not easy coming to church every Sunday. and being corrected, being spoken to, being mirrored, being shown our weakness every Sunday in, Sunday out. But we are delighted, we are always happy and keen to come and hear God's word speak to us. And as we read through it. So this, we are the wise people. And if you're a person enjoying that, coming every Sunday, coming to Bible study, reading the word of God at the time, God speaking to you, correcting you, putting you straight in your ways, because you will even love more of hearing the word of God. Lady Wisdom, she has a beautiful home. And she's prepared us a wonderful feast. And she's given us, she has invited us to come to her home. And she's given us promise. She's given us three promises. The first one is in verse 10, that we will have wisdom and understanding. Those who fear the Lord will know the Lord and will receive true wisdom. And this wisdom is what is told to us in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. Christ is the wisdom. So to gain his wisdom, we must desire Christ and ask him for it. And that's what James asks us to do. That he wants us, James asks us that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. We give generously to all without finding fault, and it should be given to you. And once we receive this wisdom, we cannot just keep it to ourselves. We must walk in his wisdom day by day. Then we will have his mind, says 1 Corinthians 2. And we will know how to serve and praise and worship him. He promises wisdom and understanding. He also promises long life. Have a look at verse 11. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. It also promises fruitful life. 12a sum up the full benefit of knowing Christ. Because we will be rewarded with fruit from the Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with God and the power to resist the attacks of Satan. No matter the struggle we face in this world, by obedience to God's words and his command, we will be compensated in eternity. Guaranteed for us, brothers. Lady Wisdom wants us to have the best possible life. He promises about wisdom and understanding, long life and fruitful life. These are true about the God that we serve. Let's turn to invitation of Woman Foley, or Lady Foley. Lady Foley competes with Lady Wisdom for the souls of men. She holds a, let's have a look at her preparation. Does she have any preparation? No. She makes no preparation at all compared to Lady Wisdom. She's loud and she knows nothing. All knowledge of holy things is lost and forgotten. She's very violent and present. Nothing. She prepared absolutely nothing. But she makes her plea. Verse 14, just like Lady Wisdom, she sits on a high seat by the highest places in the city. And she cries out from the seated position. Unlike Lady Wisdom, who sent her servants to be heard. But she says she does not move. She is lazy. She waits for the simple and those who lack understanding to pass by, so that she can pray on them. But she has promise. She doesn't promise understanding, wisdom and understanding. She doesn't promise long life. Neither does she promise fruitful life. She promised stolen water, mineral. You know, one of them is a bovi, that drink, that a bit to trick us from drinking water, stolen water and bread, but they are eaten in secret. Yes, water is essential, but it's a false promise. Have a look at Proverbs 20:17. It said, food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one end up with a mouth full of gravel. This is what food that is corrupted, that is dodgy, may taste sweet, but it ended up mouth full of gravel, and you have to just spit it out. The sad thing is that the promise is unknown to the simple. Those who lack understanding, those who do not know God, those who cannot understand the wisdom of God, that folly's home is a house of dead. They're not going to come out alive. A house is the way to hell, in Proverbs 2:18-19. So let's ask ourselves, whose invitation shall we accept? Is it that of Lady Wisdom, who has prepared much and delivered what she promises? Or that of Woman Folly, who promises much and delivers the opposite? Let me remind you, Lady Folly promises much. Lady Folly promises much but delivers the worst life possible. She doesn't offer forgiveness. That is a key. Her punishment is irreversible. This is eternal death. There is no single benefit offered by her. And we must be aware that Lady Folly does not only provide worldly lust or immorality that destroys human's soul. She's also present in false teachings of God's words with wrong doctrine that flatter pride and give liberty to lust that destroys us. These are all work of Satan, which the Lady Folly represents. 2 Corinthians 11:3 warns us that just as Eve was deceived by serpent's cunning, your mind, our mind, may somehow be led astray from our sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Devil is real, friends. And it's also mentioned in the same chapter, verse 14, that Satan even disguises himself as an angel of light. I cannot but help you to make the right choice, friends. Because Lady Wisdom is the righteous. It's a metaphor for Jesus. He identified himself as the wisdom and the creator of wisdom. Have a look at Proverbs 8. I read from 22 to 31. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity. From the beginning, before the world began, when there was no oceans, I was given birth. When there was no spring abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or his fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he mapped out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea his boundary, so that waters would not overstep his command, and that he marked out the foundation of health. Then I was a craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Friends, that is Jesus. Constantly reaching out. The end of that 31 said, he was the craftsman at his side, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Isn't that amazing? He knew us before we were all formed in the womb. He knew us before we were born. We love because he first loved us. That's our Jesus. And he's still reaching out today. This is the reason his father sent him to save us from Lady Foley. He wants us to seek him to receive his righteousness, his wisdom, his eternal kingdom. His word says he loves those who love him, and those who seek him find him. And for those who will look to God through his word, the Bible, we receive the promise of wisdom. As I bring this to close, this choice is obvious between the two invitations. The choice is Jesus. He is the one inviting every one of us to his wonderful, beautiful home with seven pillars. It's absolutely complete. There's nothing else to add to it. There is no single pillar that cannot hold firm anything that's going to rock your life, my life. It comes with assurance, plenty to offer. There's plenty of benefit that we can enjoy. Wisdom and understanding, long life, fruitful life, with our Maker, the Almighty God, Yahweh, who was there from the beginning of creation. We've read it in chapter 8, from verse 22 there. He came into our world, defeated sin and death through his work on the cross, corrects mockers once and for all. The book of Acts tells us that 3,000 people were added to the numbers of Christians on the day of Pentecost. When Peter preached about Jesus to the mockers, we were laughing at the power of people speaking in tongues. If we made the right choice through repentance and turning 180 degrees back to Christ, our forgiveness is guaranteed. We will gain knowledge of the Holy One. The mystery of the gospel will become open. We will become the insiders, not the outsiders. Veil will be removed from our face. We will be adopted into the God's family and partake in his inheritance, as Peter read 1 Peter for us this morning, chapter 1. And it comes with guaranteed eternal life, with a banquet, a decorated table, with plenty of wine and meat to offer. Let us pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for your love, that right from the beginning you never ceased to search, to love, to reach out to us, crafting every possible way so that we can be close to you and know you. Lord, your word has been spoken this morning. Lord, we pray that it will not go empty-handed into people's hearts, that there will be people that will respond to it and receive you as the invitation, Lord, as the wisdom. Lord, help us to grow in knowing you. Help us to grow in understanding and wisdom, because it is for our benefit, so that we will be with you forever. Lord, if there's any part of our sermon this morning or worship that has not glorified you or give honor to your name, we ask for your help that you will just remove it completely. And if there's any way that we have contradicted your words or misspoke or made it our own, I pray, Lord God, that you will remove that completely, that you will speak your words directly into people's heart, and they will know you and grow in your knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen.